today as we come to the table.
If we're giving begrudgingly, I better write my tithe check. Pastor said we had to tithe. Guys, you're not where God wants you to be if that's where you are. And I'm not going to tell you to be disobedient to the Lord and not tithe. I don't really know where I stand on this. I'll just say this. God doesn't really accept that offering. God says if you can't do it with a willing heart, he almost just assumes you not do it. It's got to be something from your heart. And this is not just financial. This goes in everything. If you're serving in any ministry and you're doing it because so-and-so, because the pastor asked me to, I'll do it because Mark asked, but I really don't want to. If that ever happened, don't do it.
Today, Pastor Mark will be touching on a bit of a sore subject, tithing. Anytime money is mentioned, opinions and feelings instantly flare, don't they? But don't go into this message expecting to have someone tell you that you have to give to the church. Not at all. Pastor Mark will simply be laying out what Scripture has to say about giving and what that means for you as an individual follower of Jesus. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark will be reminding you today that giving to the Lord, either financially or with your time and energy, is to be done in response to what God's done for you. He gave you new life, and now he's inviting you to join him in the work he's doing on earth. So, if you're eager to participate, jump in. Turn in your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 35 as Pastor Mark begins his message, God's requirements for building and his reward for obedience.
Tonight, we finished the book of Exodus. How about that? We're in chapter 35, and there's 40 chapters. What do y'all think about that, huh? Well, we're going to be covering a lot of territory tonight. We may not read every word. A lot of it is repetitive, but we are going to point out some very good principles tonight as we look at God's requirements for building and God's reward for obedience. And so open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 35, and let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. And Lord, as we look tonight at, Lord, just what it the requirements you had for building the temple of God, you began to move in the heart of Moses and the people to build the building for you, Lord, and then the rewards that you gave when they simply followed your instructions. Lord, there's so much we can learn, so many principles, so much blessing, and Lord, so much that we as a body right now, being in the midst of a building project, the timing of this is very appropriate. And so I pray, Lord, that as we look at your word tonight, as we cover these chapters, that you would just speak to us, you would give us principles. Lord, you would help us to see what your mindset is when it comes to doing a building project. Lord, what your heart is and how you're glorified, how you reward as we simply obey your word and move forward in faith. Just use tonight, God. I know that there are different needs here tonight, God. There are people that need to hear from you, and they've come to hear from you tonight. So they may be thinking, wow, we're going to be going through a bunch of statistics about how things are built or factual things and all this. But God, your word is alive and breathing and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so you're going to be breathing your word into our life tonight. And as we hear it, Lord, I pray you'd open up our hearts to receive it and our minds, Lord, to understand it, that you would bring it to life by your spirit and you would teach us. And we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Interesting, because we look at God's requirements for building, God's reward for obedience tonight, these last five chapters, because that's exactly where we are as a body. So it's kind of neat to me as I was looking over this and preparing for this, just to see the reminder of what God says he's going to do and then to see God bring it to come to pass. And as I said, a lot of stuff is going to be repetitive tonight. So we're going to cover some things we've covered in the past. I'll just read through some of it. Some of it we'll stop and make pertinent points on as we go through this. But also tonight, we're going to have on the screen for you guys a tabernacle to look at. There's a difference in the tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple that was in Jerusalem. The one you're looking at now was the tabernacle in the wilderness. And then out in the hall, I'm excited because when we were in Israel, we had a model built of the temple, the second temple, not the one in the wilderness like this, but the actual second temple. And we had a model built of it, and we never were able to put it out in the hall because we didn't have any kind of case to put it in. And I knew that if we didn't, it would become a Lego set and end up in a million pieces. So we got it in a case back there, and I've got it in the front hallway now. So it's a visual. So you can see tonight as we go through this what God designed in the temple. You can go and see what was designed in the second temple. And remember, as you're looking at the temple and as we read through this and look at what God did, not only just the requirements of building, which we're going to talk about, a lot of principles there, but the actual building itself is a representation of the Lord. We've talked about that in times past. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time in recapping that. But we come to the place of worship. We enter into the outer courts. And that kind of gives that, you know, that we're close to the Lord, but we're not where we need to be. You know, we move on in, we give the sacrifice. There's the altar of sacrifice, as you see in the picture. And as we give our hearts and our lives fully to the Lord, the burnt offering and all the other offerings. And then we enter into the holy place where we're getting closer to the Lord. And finally back into the Holy of Holies, where we're back in that place where we have that intimacy with the Lord. And it really is kind of a picture of the Christian life. We're in all of those different places at different times. Some of you guys walked in here in the Holy of Holies, and some of you guys are finished worship and you're still not in the outer court. Because you're thinking about tomorrow, or maybe you were thinking about today, and you're kind of like, why am I even here? And your mind's not in it. So you're not even really involved tonight. You're not yet engaged. You still can get engaged. It doesn't mean you're not a believer. It just means, you know what? It's time to enter the courts. It's time to give him a sacrifice, a praise from your heart. It's time to come into that holy place. It's time to say, Lord, I want to draw near to you. And so that's what happens as we get into the Word of God. And so as we get into these chapters here again, we're going to see him specifically talking now about the building. They have now reinstituted the law. And he's going to start talking about showing how the building is going to be put together, or rather the tabernacle they're building to worship, their place of worship in the wilderness. And notice it says, then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together, and he said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath. Now, to the Jews, the Sabbath was a big deal. If God said if you worked on the Sabbath, you were to be put to death. And why was this such a big deal? Well, because God said, this is a picture of my relationship to the nation of Israel. It shows the creation, 6 days. I took the seventh day off. And in my rest, I'm giving through the nation of Israel a picture of the rest that every believer has when they come to God. But now remember, this was only given to the nation of Israel. God says very clearly in his word, this is a covenant between me and the nation of Israel. And God says that over and over and over, lest any Gentile today think that it's for us. It's not. Now, is it okay for you to take a day off and take the Sabbath off? Absolutely. Would you be healthier if you did that? Absolutely, because God has designed our bodies to need rest. So you're going to be a healthier person if you take a day just to kick back and relax. But is it a requirement now of the law? No, it's not. Paul goes on to explain this in the New Testament. It's the only one of the Ten Commandments that's not reiterated in the New Testament. And Paul explains why. Paul says the Sabbath for the Gentile, and really for all people now, was a picture of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. He fulfilled the rest that we needed to get to God. And so now we have this rest in God, and we have the rest through Jesus Christ. He is our Sabbath rest, Paul says. And notice here that, you know, again, those, it's interesting, that try to say they follow the Sabbath today, and they say you got to worship on Saturday, and they get in their cars, and they drive to their places of worship on Saturday, and they talk bad about us because we gather together on Sunday. And yet when you start your car, you kindle a fire. I don't know how many of you knew that. But as you strike the ignition, it literally kindles a fire, which strikes the engine and starts the fire going. So they're breaking the Sabbath on the way to go and observe the Sabbath, which they accuse us of breaking. So the absurdity, you know, really of trying to live by the law, it really gets silly when you try to do that. But God, again, by mentioning the Sabbath here, you say, well, why would God mention the Sabbath right here before he goes into the building project and the requirements for the building project? The first thing that God shows them that needs to be in place for a building is he's got to be first. You know, a lot of times we get excited about the building and people ask me, how's the building going? And I'm happy to say it's going great. I mean, it's really flying. It's happening a lot faster than I thought it would, quite honestly. And yet, is it about the building, gang? It's not about the building. It's about the Lord. It's the God of the building. The building is a great place where we get to gather together. It's a good stewardship move for us as the body of Christ, because instead of putting hundreds of thousands of dollars in rent, which we have done over the last 12 years in here, now we can put hundreds of thousands of dollars into something that will eventually be paid off and is ours. So it's a good stewardship move. It's a new place to worship, which is exciting. But if it's simply a building, and we're just excited about the building, you know, and the nice woodwork and the stone, and all that's important. God cares about details. He's a detailed God. When you read how he laid out the temple was to be built, even the tabernacle and then the temple, and God was very detailed. He cared about everything, how ornamental it was, the materials that were used. There's nothing wrong in that. And I often say that we need to do everything we do as unto the Lord with excellence. I think our goal is excellence, not opulence, you know. And so we want to do it the best we can with what God gives us to do. But why would God start out with the Sabbath? Again, because he's got to be first. If God is not first and we move to the new building, great. We've got a new building and we're dead. Boring, dead church, no move of the Spirit, but the building looks great. Wow. That's neat. Great building they've got. I may come for a month or two just to enjoy the building, then I'll go someplace where God is. Follow me? So we have to make sure that we're honoring the Lord and we're lifting up the Lord and giving him praise. That is the principle he's teaching here. You're about to go into a building project, Moses and children of Israel. Make sure that I'm first. Make sure that I am put in the place that I need to be. And I am your rest. I am this picture of salvation and what you're supposed to be. And then you can build the building and then the building will be fine. And so we have to make sure that our focus is right, number one. And then notice verse 4, and Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. Gold, silver, blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair. Again, these are all the articles they would need to make the things for the temple. The supplies, we would say. Ram skin, dyed red, badger skin, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And there's a couple of things to note here right off the bat as we see this that we have to look at. Notice, first of all, he says, take an offering. Is it wrong to take an offering? We don't do it at Calvary Chapel. But is it wrong? You know, people say, I've noticed you guys don't take up an offering, you know. Do y'all think it's wrong? No, it's not wrong. Taking up an offering is biblical. So if you go to a church that takes up an offering and you're a Calvary Chapelite, it's okay. They're not doing anything wrong. As a matter of fact, the Bible says take up an offering. We're not wrong by not taking up an offering. It's just that we live in a generation, at least I did, in a generation where I heard all the time, all you want, all the church wants is our money. I got tired of hearing it. And I never wanted Calvary Chapel to be accused of just wanting anybody's money. So I said, we're not going to take up an offering. You can give, and we encourage you to do that. You're supposed to be tithing. You're supposed to be giving offerings. That's between you and God. But there's boxes on the back wall. We call them agape boxes, the love boxes. And if you want to give to the Lord out of love, then you give to the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. And I don't even look to see who gives and who doesn't. I don't want to know. I've never been tempted to treat anybody any different depending on what they give. But if I know what somebody gives, then I might be. And I don't want to give my flesh that opportunity. Now, some of you, I know what you give. Some of you, I do, for certain reasons. Maybe I've had to know for some reason or another. But I don't go and look at the books. And say, oh, who's giving? How much are they giving? And this and that and all. And so it's a great place to be. It's a real place of comfort as a pastor for me because it doesn't mess with my mind about who's giving and who's not. But the bottom line is, there's nothing wrong in doing that. But notice how we're supposed to give. Look at this. Whoever is of a what? Willing heart. How are we supposed to give to the Lord, guys? Willingly. Willingly. Now, Paul goes on and adds to that in the New Testament, says we're supposed to give willingly and with joy, excited, you know, a cheerful heart. If we're giving, it needs to be cheerful. If we're giving begrudgingly, oh, you know, I better write my tithe check. Pastor said we had to tithe. Guys, you're not where God wants you to be if that's where you are. And I'm not going to tell you to be disobedient to the Lord and not tithe. I don't really know where I stand on this. I'll just say this. God doesn't really accept that offering. God says if you can't do it with a willing heart, he almost just assumes you not do it. It's got to be something from your heart. And this is not just financial. This goes in everything. If you're serving in any ministry and you're doing it because so-and-so, because the pastor asked me to, you know, I'll do it because Mark asked, but I really don't want to. If that ever happened, don't do it. Because here's the thing. That's why a lot of times I don't ask you guys to do things. You know, sometimes people fuss at me. Mark, you need to ask people to do things. You need to push people more. This is the reason right here. This is why I don't. Because I don't want to be guilty before God by pulling the pastoral strings and saying, hey, can you serve here? I think there's a difference in being an encourager to serve if I see a call in your life and me coming to say, hey, would you do this? Because if I do that, then you can get people who are serving because the pastor asked them. Or they're giving because they feel they're supposed to, or whatever the case might be. It's got to be a willing heart, guys. Willing heart. This is what the Lord wants. He wants you to give with joy and willingness and excitement. The second principle here, as we talk about principles, the first principle is that God has to be first in a building project. And the second principle is the people need to get involved financially, which I encourage you guys to do. If you're not involved financially in the building, you rarely hear me say this. I'm going to say it. Get involved financially. I won't know whether you did or not, okay? Some of you I'll know because you'll either tell me or I'll find out, but most of you I won't know. But I'm going to encourage you because it's a biblical principle. Get involved financially with the building project. But it needs to be, if you do it, it needs to be from a willing heart. You know, we talked about what a difference just a little amount makes. And you know, you talk about, you know, 500 people giving, what, $10? That's $5,000. Think about that. A church of 500 people giving $10 apiece is $5,000. A church of 500 giving 20 apiece is $10,000. You see how quickly it racks up. So the bottom line is God has designed it in such a way that the body is to give, and those who have a willing heart, and as everyone gives, then it meets the need. So that's the second principle. Now we come to the third one. Look at verse 10. All who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded them. The tabernacle, its tent, its coverings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillows, its sockets, the ark and its poles, with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table, the poles, all the utensils, the showbread, the lampstand for the light. Again, we've covered all these in the past. The utensils, the lamps, the oil for the light, the incense altar, its poles, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, the screen for the door at the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, its bronze grating, poles, its utensils, its laver, its base, the hangings of the court, its pillars, their sockets, the screen for the gate of the court, pegs of the temple, the pegs of the court, their cords. Look at God's detail. We talk about God being detailed. This is very, very specific about the building. Very specific. The garments for ministry, the ministering for the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons as they minister. So the third thing we see here that happens in a building project is you have to gather the people together who have the talents to do the work. So we have a builder, and the builder's now up there. He has a talent to take all these materials now and put this thing together in a project. We have people that do the sheetrock and the wood and the stone and the concrete, and you say, okay, yeah, that's great. We have the people that are gifted to do that. But also, how do we get involved with that? Because it's within and without the body. You guys can be involved in this project if you want to. Matter of fact, I'll tell you how right now. Coming up here in about a month to a month and a half, we got to stain 22,000 feet of concrete. Now, there's going to be carpet in some places, but we're staining pretty much the whole thing, and then we'll cover some other things and rugs, etc. We need some help. So if you guys want to be involved in the building and actually helping in the staining, I'll let you know when that is. We're going to have a foreman overseeing it and making sure that that's the kind of stains we want. I can pretty much stain anything, so I think I'll be a shoe-in on this one, but it's staying within the lines of what needs to be stained. If you want to be a part of that, it's not just the gifted artisans that'll be up there working. You guys can be working as well. And so as you watch this whole thing, God gets the entire body involved. He gets their focus on the Lord. He encourages them to get involved financially, and then he shows them how they can serve in the midst of it. And notice he goes in verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And note this, then so Moses makes the announcement. Okay, he just did what I did right there. He said, put God first, give to the project, and now those of you that have abilities to come and help build it, come help us. So he did the same thing I just did. Now notice what happens. All the congregation, the children of Israel, departed from the presence of Moses, and then everyone came, note this, I have it underlined, whose heart was stirred. Number one, it goes on, and everyone, here's another underliner, whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. Number one, they have to be stirred hearts. And number two, spirits have to be willing. Again, God doesn't want grumbling service. You ever given God grumbling service? I have. And I've been rebuked for it by God and people. I actually like it better from God, I think. Because then it's just between him and I, and I can feel bad on my own. But God doesn't really want us serving with a grumbling heart. If I'm cleaning up the church and I'm complaining about it, he didn't want that. God, I'm serving you. This is an honor. It's a joy. We have to have that right. It's got to be both the elements. Hearts being stirred and a spirit that's willing. And I'll tell you what, if you get around a group of people whose hearts are stirred for the Lord, it's an exciting thing. And it's a joyous thing. If you get around a bunch of people whose hearts aren't stirred for the Lord, it's a drudgery. Because then you're kind of pulling them along. But you have people that are stirred for the Lord, like you guys are with the building project and all that. It's exciting. And notice what happens here in verse 22. It says, then they came, and here again, notice both men and women, as many as had a willing heart. I want to point that out again. He keeps reiterating it, so I'm going to. First of all, not just the men, but both men and women. Everyone could get involved, again, like the staining project, so to speak. Both men and women, as many as had a willing heart. There it is again. Make sure your heart is in it, because that's important to God. And they brought earrings and nose rings and rings and necklaces and jewelry of gold. That is every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. Now, interesting here, notice this. It wasn't just those who had finances to bring. anything they had of value that they wanted to give, they were allowed to do so. And I think this is neat because God allows all of us to be involved in this project. Some of you might say, well, I have no financial means at all. You can pray. And as you pray, you're offering to the project. Or whatever you have to offer, you're free to do that. And so here they're offering, you know, different things that they have to give, thinking, I don't have that much. You do. If you look, God can use all of us in that. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and thread, fine linen, goat's hair, red skins of rams, badger skins, brought them. Now, please don't bring us any goat's hair. This is for them. We're doing it a different way. And if you want to bring some sheetrock or something, we'll talk, but not goat's hair. And everyone who offered an offering of silver and bronze brought the Lord's offering, and everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. Now, you might be thinking, where did they get all these things that they were bringing to do the work of the Lord here? Remember, when they left Egypt, God told them to go to their neighbors and ask them to give them things. And you might say, wow, he actually told them to go and ask them to give them goods? Why would God do that? Isn't that stealing or something? No. They had been serving them as servants for 400 years. It's payday. And it was time for the Egyptians now to pay back what they'd been giving. And so now they have all these goods that they brought with them out into the wilderness from what they gathered from them. And now they're giving to them, and everyone is giving what they can. I heard an amazing thing. You know, I haven't verified this, so don't quote me on it. But I trust the man that I heard it from. I heard an amazing thing today. You know, it's interesting. He was talking about just the giving in the church. And he said there was some organization that took all the number of Christians that are in the world, professed Christians, and took an average, I guess, of what people would make. And if everybody tithed, they said that every single church in America and project would be paid for instantly. Every ministry would be instantly funded, and the hungry of the world would be fed. Think about that. If that's true, only if the church was obedient. Now, I think about that. What could God do through us, guys, if we challenged ourselves? And said, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just be obedient to the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to do? And let's watch what happens. I mean, I think if we did that, we would all be amazed at what God would do in this project. Again, I look at what God does here, and it's just an amazing thing to watch. As everybody got together, everybody did their part. And when everybody does their part, nobody's overwhelmed. Everybody gets to be a part of the thing that God's doing. And yet again, there's that whole thing of making sure that your heart is in the right place. Notice this, it says, verse 25, all the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands, and they brought what they had spun, blue, purple, and scarlet, and linen. And the women whose hearts were stirred, there it is again, with wisdom, spun yarn of goat's hair. Again, showing that they took what they had. You may think you don't have much to offer, but they took what they had to offer. They were gifted in sewing, and so that's what they gave. I love it. The rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. The spices and the oil for light, for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord. All the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. And then Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I love this because he literally names a guy by name that God has called to be one of the artisans and the workers. Now, what's cool to me about that is, he's called each of us by name to be a part of whatever ministry God's got us being a part of, whether it's the building project or some other ministry we're involved in, but he's called us by name. That's exciting to me. It's not just, you're not just a number. He knows your name. He has a plan for your life. He specifically ordained you to do a certain thing, and now you're supposed to step out and do it. And I love that because, you know, it makes you feel like you're not just kind of this dot on a picture at a big long table that you see in the Christian bookstore.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Exodus. This Old Testament book of the Bible is an interesting one, as it's the end of one era for the people of Israel, heading into a new season for them that leads them back to their homeland. Through the events in this book, you'll learn of God's miraculous ways of bringing people to freedom. Just looking at the seemingly impossible things that God brought about through the book of Exodus helps you realize that He's a God of power, authority, and incredible majesty. The Israelites experienced this firsthand, but it didn't take long for them to forget what He'd done. Can you relate? Perhaps you've seen God work in your life in amazing ways, but it doesn't take long to be back in a place where you feel like God isn't working in your life. If that's so, we'd really like to be a support for you in prayer. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what we can be praying for, as well as any thoughts or comments about what you've heard today. You can also listen to additional teachings at thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today. But Pastor Mark has more to share from the miracle-filled book of Exodus. We hope you'll join us again and learn and grow in ways that God speaks to you personally related to the things written down in Exodus. We're thankful for you taking the time today to listen, and we look forward to you joining us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.